Welcome back to Nerds RPG Variety Cast. I'm your host, Jason. On today's System Sunday, we're going to talk about Time Ship from 1983. This is was published originally by Yoquinto Publications, and I know them for other games that they had, such as The Sword and the Flame, Ironclads. Swashbuckler is a very famous game. It's a board game where it's in a, like a box, and you open the box up, and that's the board. And Swashbuckler is simulating like Three Musketeers swashbuckling combat. They also did one called Adventurer that was the same thing, but it was the Star Wars Cantina that was kind of cool. Anyhow, they had a number of games over the years. They're now out of print. And this game is a true role-playing game, but it came in a box, just like, well, most games back then came in a box. And it was written by Herbie Brennan. Mr. Brennan's an interesting cat. He also did Man, Myth, and Magic, and I'll talk about that in a future show. But he also wrote on New Age topics and, you know, wrote about reincarnation and psychic time travel. And Time Ship is almost a role-playing game that's a manual to the idea of psychic time travel. I mean, that's basically what this game is, interestingly enough. And it's really interesting to see those New Age ideas kind of into the game, even to the, like, energy expenditure and things like that. So this game is probably the fullest realization of that, even more so than Man, Myth, and Magic. Although Man, Myth, and Magic really leads into reincarnation, it doesn't maybe ritualize it like this game ritualizes the psychic time travel idea. So really interesting stuff. And you can find his books out there, actually, for fairly cheap, some of them on New Age topics, and it may be worth checking out. I don't know if you're into that kind of thing. Anyhow, since Yoquinto went out of business, this IP was picked up by Precis Intermedia, Precis. And they've put a PDF out of this. They took everything in the box set and they scanned it, and that's what you get in the PDF. And there's a number of games that they've acquired over the years and done this way. And they've really done us a service by that, because we're able to access these games for very cheaply and see what things were like. And, you know, you might even want to play one of these. Who knows? Before I talk any more about Time Ship, though, the game itself has kind of a cutesy little thing it does. And I don't want to ruin that without giving you a chance to opt out. So what I will say is this. Time Ship is a time travel role-playing game. It's one of the earliest time travel role-playing game. It's not the first time travel role-playing game, though. That goes to Fringeworthy from Tritech, to the best of my knowledge. But this is a very early time travel role-playing game, and it is a very interesting game. It's fairly lightweight. It's a really rules-like game for the early 80s, and it's a very interesting read. It's only $4.95 for the PDF. So if you're interested in game history, if you like reading old games, you're not so worried about running them, but you like reading old game mechanics and you enjoy reading these kind of things, then I think you should buy it. But if you're somebody that has to know about the game before you buy it, then you're going to have to listen to the rest of this review. If you are going to buy it blind, you can buy it as a set with Man, Myth, and Magic. They have a combo where you can buy both of them for a little bit cheaper, but that's for a future review. I just wanted to point out that if you do end up wanting to buy this and you like older games, you may want to consider buying the package deal instead of just this one game. If you're willing to go into a blind and you do genuinely like just reading mechanics of games you might not play and you like weird old games, then I think you should buy it and you should stop listening to this review, because I'm going to spoil the funny thing the rules do. And, you know, I don't want to spoil that for you if I can help it. Okay, if you're still listening, that means you don't mind me spoiling the conceit of these rules. So let's get into it. These rules are written from the point of view that they are a historical find. It opens up as such. Introduction. The manuscript you're about to read is now the center of one of the greatest archaeological controversies of the present century. And it stays in this tone for most of the book, including going through the rules. It presents itself as instructions from ancient aliens on how to do time travel. And these ancient alien instructions were found by the Sumerians, put in cuneiform, later found by a Hebrew invader who copied them, and then they were found near where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in additional digs that the public doesn't know about around the time of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the game then goes to say the best way to describe these so people can easily understand them is describe them in the terms of a game. But they still follow this conceit that it's, you know, a historical document. And it, you know, it's endearing, it's funny, and then it gets a little bit annoying as they go through. But it goes through. It's got a litany, a little ritual that you're supposed to do with your players before you start playing, because that's how you activate the time ship, right? I'll read you this little, you know, every game has the section on how to use the dice. Well, this does too, but it does it as a manuscript. So I'll read this to you. Time Lord. And it's bolded and exclamation point. At the beginning of each section in here, it starts off yelling Time Lord at you. I'm sure if you're somebody like Joe Richter that uses a screen reader, this would be a very interesting document to have read to you. But it goes, Time Lord, your group must generate its energy. Within the time ship are two colored spheres of many facets. One is the greater sphere of color, the other is a lesser sphere of white. Each member of your group must now engage upon the rolling of the spheres. By our arts, we have embodied in the spheres energy sufficient for each time trip. The digits on the colored sphere each represent 10 units of the energy. The digits on the white sphere each represent 1 unit of the energy. The spheres must be rolled together for the energy to generate. When the spheres show color 0, white 0, 100 units has been generated. When the spheres show color 0, white 1, 1 unit has been generated. And on and on and on. So that kind of tells you how this rule book is written. Like I say, it's funny, it's endearing, and then starts to get annoying. Now, later on in the book, they totally drop this. For the GM section, they totally drop this conceit and are talking directly to you, the GM. Here's the GM section. Hi, Time Lord. Time Ship is categorized as a roleplay game, but it's so different from everything else on the market that even if you have experience of other roleplay systems, you'll need a bit of advice to help you cope with this one. And that, of course, goes double if you haven't been involved in roleplay before. In most roleplay systems, players begin by creating characters for use in the game. That doesn't happen in Time Ship. Players embark on an adventure as themselves. They pit their own wits, their own skills, their own ingenuity against situations they would never have the opportunity of facing in real life. It can be one hell of an experience for them, but in every case, the Time Lord makes or breaks it. That sounds like a lot of hassle for the poor old Time Lord, but it isn't. Time Ship has been very carefully designed to make things easy on the Time Lord and to make play as interesting for the Time Lord as it is for the players. And it goes on. It's a really interesting read, and honestly, the rules, even in here, in the original way they're written, the actual rules are only about 7 to 8 pages. Now, they take up more space in here because they're tables of weapons and tables of other things, but once you remove the tables, and honestly, if you reformatted this in normal, not trying to be a fancy manuscript, and you reformat it just as regular rules, you might have 4 to 6 pages of rules for this game. It really is rules light, and it's kind of refreshing. It's all percentile based. You use D percentile for everything, as all the best games do, and it's very interesting. Now you did hear correctly that the players play themselves. They play avatars in the system, they make themselves in this game, and they're playing themselves. And it even goes to the degree that what they show up at the session wearing is what they're wearing when they go, or what's in their pockets is what they take with them when they go. And the rules talk about that, and the rules talk about, you know, players that might bring dangerous things to the game to try to take them with them in the game, and how to nip that in the bud. And the GM advice is actually really good in this game for running a time travel game. It's, although it's very minimal, because it comes with three adventures built in the game, and this is all in a 63-page PDF. It comes with three really interesting adventures. You have Murder at the End of Time, where you go to the very end of time and you're trying to solve a murder. You have the destruction of Gomorrah, yes, out of the Old Testament, the destruction of Gomorrah, where you go back there. Publisher's note, parents are cautioned that the explicit sexual content of this capsule may make its use unsuitable for children. And then the last one is also potentially a little, maybe not for young kids, Assassinate the Fuhrer, where you go 1945 and you're trying to kill Hitler. So, it, you know, these capsules are really interesting. The game's really interesting. It's got this conceit where you have so much energy, you travel through the portal, and everything you do uses energy. So distances you move use that energy up. If you strike at somebody, it uses that energy up. If you take damage, it can use that energy up. And when all your energy's gone, you're dead, at least in that time capsule, in that adventure. But there's ways that you can bring energy back and grow, so you have additional energy when you go into future adventures. And that's kind of how you, your character advancement. It's really rudimentary. But, like I say, it's kind of neat. I would run this, but it's definitely different. There are rules in here to personalize your stats. They're not nearly as extensive as later games like Time Lords, where, you know, it's like how many push-ups or pull-ups can you do and things like that. It's not like that. And it tells the GM very specifically, you know, if the players could probably do it, or if it's physically possible, let them do it. Don't be too hard on the players. And, you know, it's a game. Everybody's supposed to have fun, which is nice. It has rules in here specifically for shape changing. So if your group is maybe not the right gender or ethnicity to go back and be SS officers to try to kill Hitler, then the game allows you to shape change into tall, white, blonde-haired males to be able to do that, right? So, it sidesteps some of that stuff, which is nice that that's built into the game. It's interesting. It's built, so this is back when groups were bigger. These modules were written for 5 to 6 players each, and they talk about, and they go pretty extensively on what to do if you have a bigger group than 5 to 6, how you have to adjust the module. And then it's got a much shorter section on how to adjust the module for a smaller group, because they assume if you don't have 5 or 6, you're probably going to have 8 or 10 players, which is kind of interesting. So Time Slip, it's a pretty short read. It's an interesting game. I think it's playable, and I think it would be fun to do at the table with the right group. And they don't really give you rules to create your own modules, but adventures, but you could. I don't think it'd be too hard to do. And I've read a lot of time travel games, and the really minimalist approach this one takes is probably the right way to go, to be honest. They give lip service in here to other time travelers and talk about all that for a minute. They waste a lot of time with this. It's a fake, or it's a real manuscript, Jazz. And I think if you rewrote it without that, because the players are never even going to really see that. The only person who sees that's the GM as they're reading through the instructions. So I know what they're going for here, and it made me chuckle, but I would ditch that, rewrite it, and you get a real minimalist time travel game that's kind of interesting. You're really limited on what you can take with you. Items you take with you through time come off your personal energy, so it limits you from taking a bunch of weapons with you or armor with you or stuff. You can take stuff, but you need to be really strategic on what you do take. So that's, kind of well-designed. They talk about issues that came up during the play tests in here, so they definitely did play test this. I give it two thumbs up. I think it's a neat system, and I think it's, especially if you like the history of role-playing games and you like to see role-playing games other than D&D, then this is worth your time taking a peek at. That is Time Ship. I might have said Time Slip at some point in this interview, but it really is Time Ship. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention the computer game tie-in. Yes, right before they went out of business, they actually did a computer game tie-in for this game, believe it or not. It was like 1984, and it came on floppy disks, and you can find stuff on the internet about it. But yeah, they came with a computer game emulation that emulated the first adventure model, the, you know, Death at the End of Time or Murder at the End of Time. So that's kind of cool that this kind of oddball game had a computer game tie-in as well. You know, it's like 1984. Anyway, that's all I have for you today. Tomorrow, we're going to be playing the movie night episode, so you'll get to hear people's impressions on 1984's The Dungeon Master. If you have experience with Time Ship, or maybe even with other time travel role-playing games, want to talk about that, then why don't you reach out to me and I'll put your messages on the air. All the ways to do that are in the show notes. I'd love to get listener feedback. I would love to hear your experiences with this or other time travel games. But until I talk to you then, be excellent to each other.